Welcome to Measurably Better Learning, the podcast built for learning and development professionals. Whether you're an instructional designer, L&D professional, or corporate leader, get ready for insights and ideas that will transform your approach to learning, training, and development. So let's dive in.
Welcome to this episode of our podcast. Today, I'm talking with Dr. Jerry Zanstra, and we're talking about telling stories today, Jerry. And I know you have more than one, and you have all kinds of stories, but I believe today we're talking about how storytelling can impact learning, which is slightly different than just all kinds of stories.
That's true. So Miriam, you and I have known each other a long time, and I am a person of stories.
Yes, you are.
But I come by it honestly. My family is a family of stories. And so I hardly ever heard propositional truth when I was a boy. And some of my favorite times were when we'd have family gatherings. I'd sit with my grandpa and my dad and my uncles, and sometimes around a fire, fishing or whatever, and they'd tell stories. And all the stories had a point to them, but truth was conveyed in storytelling. Mm-hmm. And it's funny how many of those stories have stuck with me and how many of those stories I've told to my three sons.
Sure.
And then even to our granddaughter. Those stories live a long time, and they're powerful communication tools.
I'd love to go back to the part where you were allowed to talk while you were fishing, because that was not my experience.
Oh, no.
But moving on
to
storytelling.
As a young boy, I was
That was my experience, too. Mm-mm. Yeah, nobody talked during fishing.
And I liked talking, and they were like, nope, you're a boy. Be quiet.
Right. Anyway, I apologize for that digression, but that was... So let's begin with some definitions. What do you mean by storytelling in the case of, you know, applying it to learning, and what are the key components of that?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, and it's harder to answer than you might think, right? Storytelling, everybody knows a story when they're hearing one. But it can be written, it can be verbal, it can be in prose, it can be in poetry. There's so many different components to storytelling. And I think, you know, you have characters, and they could be people, they could be trees that talk, right? There's all sorts of characters you can have in them, and there's some movement. So a story, a really good story in my mind has a beginning, some sort of character arc, some sort of story arc where things develop. Perhaps there are some surprises in it, and then at the end, there's a conclusion of some sort. I find stories that don't conclude, or movies or books that just end and you go, wait, what just happened?
Right.
That's unsettling to me. There's a part of me that wants to close that loop. Mm-hmm. But stories are in learning. I read recently about a cognitive psychologist who said that when you present somebody with straight up facts, compared to when you embed those facts inside of a story, you are able to remember the facts inside the story 22 times better.
Wow.
Which is profound. So, I mean, I think of learning oftentimes, we're giving people fact, right?
Proposition. A lot of
knowledge-based content. Here are the 11 things you need to know. And they don't get wrapped inside of a story, and so the likelihood that you're going to remember those facts later is fairly low. Again, and I don't know if 22 times is the right. This person studied this, but even if it's 15,
right.
Even if it's 10 times better, but this guy says 22 times. Wow, that's a powerful story.
Use
of stories inside of learning, training, and development, and why we ought to make use of them. And there's so many great ways to tell stories now. It's well beyond just a written story. The animation opportunities, the B-roll video animations, the realistic, photorealistic kind of, there's all sorts of ways. Part of that is AI, and I'm sure we'll talk about that in a little bit. But there's so many ways to tell great stories. And sometimes we're not perhaps making as much use of those as we ought to.
Yeah, I agree. I think you know, somebody with an instructional design background, which includes myself, we tend to think immediately jump to, well, what do we need them to know? Mm-hmm. As opposed to taking a step back and thinking about how we want to package that.
You still have to have that, what we need to know.
Yep. Right?
But how are you going to communicate that? And the power of stories is pretty compelling.
Yeah.
Actually very compelling. There was an article, I can't remember if it was Wall Street Journal or New York Times, but an internationally known publication about cybersecurity. And they did, it was about anti-phishing. Mm-hmm. Right,
P-H-I-S-H.
Because
we just spoke about the other kind of phishing,
I thought I should probably clarify. Right, so it's an anti-phishing training, and they gave people training, and then they did these tests, right? So they sort of to see if they would fall for it. Lots of them did. I heard recently of somebody in the C-suite at a very large company failed 20 plus times. Oof. The phishing email. And they'd give these people training and, you know, all sorts of warnings. Terrible things can happen. These are the right processes. And the needle didn't move at all. Then they implemented a storytelling approach where it could be peer-to-peer. So peers started telling stories about how they were taken advantage of inside of a phishing scam. And the amount of phishing scams that occurred dropped significantly. All the warnings were there, but it's different. Like if I hear a warning or you tell me a story about, boy, we really, you know, Bob and I had this happen and we lost or we had to go to a lawyer or whatever. That story, those stories, peer-to-peer stories, really, really moved the needle. So I know we'll come back in the second half and we'll talk
some more storytelling.
Those things really stuck with me.
Imagine a world where every training session, every learning module, and every translated document is aligned with your company's unique goals and global ambitions. Welcome to Ingenuity, where we don't just talk about elevating your corporate learning, we make it happen. At Ingenuity, we understand the heart of your business is its people. That's why we specialize in creating custom learning solutions and translation services that are not just effective, that are designed specifically for your business's global needs. Let us show you how learning cannot be just better, but measurably better, with solutions tailored just for you. Learn more in the description below.
Well, welcome back. We're going to continue our segment here on storytelling. And one of the interesting things about storytelling is that it can be very tied to culture. In fact, that's what makes it powerful. But when you're developing learning and training in a multilingual, multinational company, multicultural, it can be powerful. It can also cause a lot of stumbling blocks for your participants if you don't do it right.
Yeah.
So what are the challenges and how do we overcome some of those challenges?
Yeah, I think I'm two minds on this.
Okay.
One is it's good to hear a story, see a story, be told a story where you can identify.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, oh, I'm kind of like that person, or that person has a struggle similar to a struggle that I'm experiencing. In one sense, you want to be able to identify, and if you don't identify, you don't really relate to the story. If the struggle isn't...
You feel a part of it, yeah.
So yeah, it's not similar to who you are. That's one side.
Mm-hmm.
On the other side, I love hearing stories that are wholly other than my own experience, because it's wonderful to learn about somebody's experience, but that's very different from your own. And one of my previous life, I traveled a lot in sub-Saharan Africa, and I tried to gather as many stories as I could to just ask people about themselves, about their lives, how they were raised, what their challenges were. Very different from mine, but I learned an enormous amount. I think in the multicultural, multilingual, multinational organization, there's a natural bias to tell a story that matches your culture.
Mm-hmm.
And you might think it is globally applicable, but it's not. And we see this in movies. You and I have talked about this, right?
Right.
You know, things like action movies do really, really well globally because everybody kind of really are overcoming, you know, evil with good.
Yes, right.
That kind of thing. U.S. filmed romantic comedies that are set in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They don't work well in the mm-hmm. EU. Mm-hmm. They certainly don't work well in Asia. People can't relate to them. They don't get the humor.
Right.
They don't get the idioms. That doesn't make any sense to them. And so I think when you're, especially in that context, when you're telling stories and you're creating story-based learning, you have to sort of pull back the lens mm-hmm. and look for big international themes, common themes. And I think it's a great mm-hmm. idea to know the people in those cultures. So if you have a plant yeah. or an office yes. somewhere, pass it by them and say, does this make sense to you? Mm-hmm. Because chances are they're going to tell you, if you have a strong enough relationship mm-hmm. with them, they're going to tell you, yeah, oh yeah, we get our, nope. That right. And we're working with a client right now that had created a humorous series of videos, and it, when they got into other cultures and other languages, the humor fell flat. Mm-hmm. It, people didn't even know it was supposed to be humor.
Right.
And yeah, trying to make sense of it, it's been translated,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't make any sense. And so, you know, especially in that context, and a lot of the clients that we work with are global,
right?
You know, Fortune right. 1000, mm-hmm. they have multiple locations around the world, in some cases, dozens of locations or even hundreds of locations. Being aware of that, so the power of storytelling is awesome.
If you do it right, I think, right?
If you do it right and yeah. you make sure that it connects with the audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's a powerful argument for not making assumptions, knowing who your audience mm-hmm. is. And if you don't have those contacts, start to make them if you can. You know, it's a great argument to make some of those contacts.
Those relationships mm-hmm. Will strengthen your learn. A manager of a plant or an office administrator somewhere can be incredibly helpful if you put a little time into hearing their story, figuring out mm-hmm. who they are, building up trust and relationship. There's a lot of good that can come from that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and we talked about this for a moment earlier, but the question on everybody's mind is too, right? Now we have this powerful tool called AI. It's getting more powerful all the time. How does that fit into the creative process, whether it's creating, telling, or, you know, eventually rolling out that story?
Well, AI is a moment in time.
Mm-hmm.
And what we said about artificial intelligence 12 months ago versus 6 months ago versus 3 months ago versus literally the stuff I've seen this week.
Right, right.
That yes, I thought was years out is here. Matter of fact, I was one of the guys that helps us create some really cool AI-generated animations, which is a remarkable thing. He and I were discussing something last week, and he said, well, someday this will be possible. He sent me a text last night. He said, that day is today. I can hardly stay up with what this
yeah,
does.
It's crazy.
It's just incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Another good friend has helped me think about how to use AI, not just in storytelling, but in creating learning experiences, even visuals,
mm-hmm.
Animation, video, and so on. He says, think of it as getting yourself 60% mm-hmm. of the way there. AI can mm-hmm. get you 60% of the way there. And I've pushed him on that. Why 60? Why not 55? He said, I don't know. I'm right. going with 60. As it develops, perhaps that percentage yeah. gets bigger, right?
Yeah.
Maybe in a year's time or next week, it'll be 70. But his point is, it's a tool to get you to a particular spot. It can move you quickly. And you know, you've written an enormous amount, articles and ebooks and so on. And sometimes that first 10%
mm-hmm.
is the hardest
right.
thing.
Yep, to get
so,
rolling.
Yeah, you just got to get a flow going or the right idea or the right concept. And I think AI generating stories particularly can take some propositional truths. You can create some characters. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as you learn to prompt correctly,
right.
it can really move it forward. But at the same time, it's not 100%.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this isn't binary. There's a, you know, it's not either 0 or 100. It you have an opportunity to add your creativity into it and on top of it. And, but it allows us to produce a lot more content
mm-hmm.
and, you know, you can ask it. I want this story. It has to have these facts in it. And I want that story set in Bulgaria. Mm-hmm. Okay. Right? It'll pull up appropriate names. It'll pull up, it'll pull from, you know, culturally appropriate things. And that's good. So, yeah.
Well, Mary, I'm sorry. I was just going to say that's an argument, too, though, for knowing and having personal relationships, because you still need to run that by people in that country, perhaps, because what AI thinks happens in Bulgaria may or may not be, and if we don't have any way of knowing.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, absolutely. It's a powerful step forward.
As long as we think of it as a tool and not a replacement,
absolutely.
I think we'll be in a good spot. Mm-hmm. So thanks for this conversation.
It's been a great conversation.
Before we wrap up the show, if you're looking to dive deeper, we've got tons of free downloads, L&D resources, and details about upcoming webinars that you won't want to miss. They're found in the episode description. Plus, if you ever want to chat with either one of us, now's your chance. You can find links in the episode description to connect directly with Miriam or me. We're here to answer your questions and to discuss all things learning and development. And speaking of questions, we love hearing from you. Whether it's a question or a comment or a topic you're curious about, or if you just want to join the conversation, drop us a comment on your favorite social media channel. Your input shapes our shows. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform. It's the best way to ensure you never miss out on our latest episode. We're excited to continue to transform learning into a measurable success with you. Until next time.